The Dirty Talk podcast is brought to you by Winnover Microbes. Winnover Microbes helps home gardeners, landscapers, farmers, and ranchers enhance your soil, plants, trees, livestock, horses, companion animals, and more with simple and organic growth that's proudly made in the USA. Join us at WinnoverMicrobes.com for some honest reviews and multiple opportunities to learn more about microbes from our YouTube channel, Facebook groups, and two virtual summit opportunities in April with Jackie Dayberry and other panelists with the latest news, interactive Q&As, and more. The Livestock and Pet Summit is Monday, April 5th from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. Central. And the Plant and Soil Health Summit is Monday, April 12th from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. Central. For more information about our products, trials and reports, photo gallery and testimonials, or you want to buy some microbes online or nearby, join us at WinnoverMicrobes.com. Welcome to the Dirty Talk podcast. My name is Evan Umberger, and I've got an amazing friend, Alexander Walker. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you today?
Excellent. So, Alex, tell me about, you know, who you are and just share your background.
Well, sharing my background will be gardening. I love plants. but anyway, what I love especially personally is orchids. You know, we will talk about them more later. I love them.
Yeah.
But I love all plants, all animals. You know, if it's living, I'm for it. You know, anything. Especially these microbes. You know, I really love whatever microbes because of what they are. They're a diversified system in a bottle. I find that's really important. So that's why it really, really pulls my attention. I'm like, yes, we need more products like this in the world.
That's amazing. Now, you mentioned that you've been growing plants since you've been 8 years old. I mean, what a great, time that you said you got to spend time with your grandmother. I mean, just go into that.
Well, man, 16 years ago, and I'm not that old, but still 16 years of gardening experience has been pretty great. I've always grown something over the course of that time, no matter where I am, what it is. What it was is my grandmother babysat me on weekends or in the summer. I'm sure many people can relate. And we would go outside and she would come outside with me and she would show me how plants grow. And she made that mistake because within the period of 2 years, by the time I turned 10, her house may have been falling apart, but man, the yard was beautiful. There was actually going to be a citation for the house in that town, but actually he came to the door to say that he was asked to issue a citation. But the yard was too pretty and the house looked structurally okay. So they actually let it go. That's literally his words. He says, this yard is so beautiful. I don't want to do anything to this house. This is great. You know, y'all keep all the flowers up and growing. So what it was is I grew tomato plants every year from the time I was 8 forward. That was like our thing. Like we would plant marigolds, cabbages, and tomatoes everywhere. Everywhere we could. Yeah, she was actually my great-grandmother. So she had a lot of that. Yeah, she actually had a lot of that old school system. And in a couple ways, she actually told me about how microbes influence plants. She told me about how that when you take a banana peel and you put it beneath a rose, the fungi break that down and break down the little molecules to feed to the rose. And the rose, in turn, benefits from the excess phosphate and phosphorus in the soil. You know, I mean, I could go on for hours. I love gardening and I love my grandmother. It was all a great experience. So I could just go and not shut up. So.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, do you mind just sharing, what's something that's unique about microbes and something that someone may not know or they may not realize?
Well, what people may not realize is it's the truest, most basic rainforest that we have. We have bleached everything, we have sterilized everything, but like we are a big microbe. We are a big collection of cells that do a job, and microbes are set up to do the same thing. We have completely eliminated them from our environment. And actually, I like to reflect, if I may chase a little rabbit hole here, is the fact that wild orchids are very rarely seen with common viruses in cultivation. And I think personally, it's because orchids naturally seem to sequester, especially arbuscular mycorrhiza, that sheath the roots of the plant. They really seem to draw those in nature. Even if you were to put a domestically grown one up in a tree, they seem to eventually acquire it. And that literally provides like a barrier that that virus or, you know, bacteria or anything can't cross. And a lot of the times, especially whenever you have a few different species like Trichoderma, and there's many others that can do this job, they will in essence attack any sort of foreign bodies that come near a plant, not because like, oh, I need to defend the plant, but it's just kind of what they do naturally. They kind of play the middleman. They'll be the frontliner that gets hit with the virus first, and then the virus can't do anything to that organism, and then it's just inert. So there's literally a barrier that microbes help that protects plants and animals from disease spreading. You know, we have, yes, hygiene is very important, but I feel like in a lot of ways, we need to add that biome back, put that back on our hands. And I think people would be surprised at the reduction in transmission of different diseases and stuff like that. I feel like people really don't know how important this microbe rainforest is that, you know, for most of our existence as a species has helped protect us, has lived on us, has, you know, there's so many benefits that we may not even know about yet because we eliminated it. Sterilized it and we got rid of it. So now we're just beginning again to get into the new age where we're understanding what these things do. So I feel like it's going to be really exciting in the future as people become more educated on this topic.
Right. So what's an example? You've got, you know, you're a home gardener, right? I mean, you've got a plant in your background. You were showing me something earlier that was an orchid, right? That you could pick up the pot with the roots.
Yes. So about 6 months ago, I got this orchid imported from Taiwan, and they go through a lot of stress in transport. And usually it's kind of a delicate process to bring them into home cultivation, especially because it's not a nice humid greenhouse. You know, it's got to, you know, I kind of like to do that where it acclimates to my house, so it grows better overall anyway. But now within 6 months, not only did when I planted, it did not stop growing. There was no shock period where it just laid there and prepared to begin to grow. Like it just started growing. So it went from a little 4-inch pot to now this 12-inch ceramic pot that, let me do this very carefully. Yeah, I can hold up. Yeah, that's crazy. Very, very excited to see such progressive growth from a plant that normally does not grow that fast, especially not during the winter. You can see that nice new growth on it. Like this plant came from the tropics, which normally whenever you import plants from the tropics to our temperate region, even if you're growing it in the house, they do not thrive. And both of these have done fantastic. This one actually came from a greenhouse out in San Francisco. This amount of growth was insane. The grower I got it from, he's a good friend of mine. He said, you know, I don't see a need to repot it for 2 years. And I said, you don't understand what these microbes are going to do for it. And then now here it is 6 months later, like I could pick it up by the plant too. See, look. Yeah. Beautiful. That's what I was also getting to, you know, it's orchids really, really seem to thrive whenever you give them a diversified microbe system, because like a lot of the bacteria and other things that are in Wind River microbes kind of help kill off pathogens that orchids are normally super vulnerable to. Like they're very vulnerable to root rot. Actually, the ones in the bottom, like I'm purposely mean to these plants to kind of see how far the microbes can go to help a plant thrive. We're actually growing down in water. And if anyone has ever grown an orchid, especially an epiphytic orchid like a Cattleya, they will understand that once the root touches water, it normally rots off. No, it grew down through the algae and you could kind of see the mycorrhizae come off of it, and then it came back up before it stopped growing. Like it did not rot off. The velamen that encased the root was still fully healthy when I brought it out. And when I did a little cross section, all the tissue was still perfectly viable. And this is stagnant water that it was sitting in. Wow. This is not like nice filtered water. This is just like dirty water in some rocks. It was just the humidity tray and the root still thrived.
That's so big.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, hey, everybody, we need to replant the rainforest, but not just the trees, the microbes, the plants, the animals, all of it. You know, and I feel like the microbes are the easiest thing for the person in a home to begin to restore our biomes is with microbe products. You know, you could bring it back into your food with probiotics, and, you know, with, you know, you can give Balancer to your pets. And I really noticed that. So normally an apple upsets my dog's stomach. Okay. And give her an apple and she has the microbes. Her stomach does not get upset. It really seems to help the digestive process for animals. Mm. And that applies the same for plants, because of what the microbes do whenever they're in a well-balanced system, because you can, of course, get an unbalanced system and have problems.
Yeah. That's amazing. So let me ask you this. You're mentioning Wind River Microbes. How'd you find out about Wind River Microbes?
So CJ was waiting on a meeting to do something in Murray. I forget about it because I was very excited. I was very focused on what he was saying, because I remember reading about microbes for the couple of years leading up to that. And there was so many questions in my head. I was like, why don't we have products that can do this? Why don't we have the knowledge and know-how? I was like, where is it? And then he just comes into my work, you know, loosey-goosey, like, hey, I see y'all are nursery. You want some soil care? And of course I'm up there and I just had coffee. So I'm so sorry. I feel so sorry for CJ, because I just peppered him. I just started tackling him with questions, and he called Jackie and she answered a couple of my questions, and I realized what exactly they had in front of me. I was like, this is it. This is the microbiome in a bottle that we've been eating, because like using like monocultured microbes is just as bad as using monocultured crops. Like, yes, singular species can be used to do a singular job, but once you do it for too long, it's like using one type of antibiotics, and you know, everyone knows that that causes the antibiotic resistance. So you open up that bottleneck of evolution whenever you monoculture something for the perfect pathogen to come in and take it over. Whenever you have this diverse system, it's kind of like the way that foresters are looking at reforestation. Like, they will drop seeds in whatever order they fall in. They'll plant that species of tree down. They will go and collect native cultivars that grow in a specific habitat, like pines and slightly more swampy soil, and then they'll continue to cultivate those. It's just common sense cultivation, that reintegration of fully balanced systems instead of like cropland, like squares. They mix them together in a way that they're happy. For example, dogwoods and oaks go together like beautifully. Like, dogwoods like kind of like to live in the little north periphery of an oak tree, like right outside their root system, because the oak provides like the nice acidic loam and kind of helps deter other things that could grow underneath it that could compete with the dogwood. And it also helps shade the dogwood and keep it cool. It's just like that way that nature intended things to be. Wind River Microbes has seemed to have captured in a bottle. And I was so excited. That's why I feel so sorry for CJ, because I had a full cup of coffee and I did not shut up like I'm doing now. I can talk all day about these things.
We will need to have many more podcast conversations about this.
Oh, yeah. I could go on endlessly.
Well, just give them just a few examples of how you use Wind River Microbes. You've already mentioned giving Balancer to your pets, and, you know, just, you know, examples of home gardening. I mean, could you even go into what it's like for farmers and ranchers maybe?
Oh, yes. And that is another thing. As I said, there's just so many implications to this product. I'm going to say something possibly scandalous. Oh, well. You know, land doesn't vote, but you know, the people that are in charge of that land deserve a voice of that land. Especially farmers, because they're the backbone of our society. We can't turn our back on them. And I feel like the micro products are really a way for them not only to make more money, but it could help them make better product, produce more product overall with less effort, have less problems. Like, for example, soil care can knock out leaf spot problems in the soil like that. There's actually a few studies going on with using soil care and a few others to kill out a blight that's affecting coffee trees. It's just like these products on the onset are really going to help those important people that are in charge of that land, that are stewarding that land to provide for everyone else. And then reflecting to the home gardener who may not have a very big property, may not be a farmer, or will, restoring your own local biome is just as important. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not be so you can make money, but it may be so that you can grow a healthy garden and get plenty of, you know, fresh nutrients, like eating fresh foods, and is kind of like using the microbes. Sure. When it's fresh, whenever you get all that, you know, recently dead cell and all that information, all those nutrients are readily absorbed by the body, the microbes kind of go on that same principle. So that's why I'm kind of painting a big picture here. How can you use microbes? Like I ask people, how can't you use microbes? Like I would almost challenge people to find a way that you could not use microbes to integrate into another system. Like, you know, maybe four or five monocultured strains could be used in medical settings for all sorts of things, for pets and other things, and livestock and things like that, to deliver antibiotics. Like we've already started to see that it reduces the overall need of antibiotics, and while increasing the efficiency of them. So like back to the backbone of our society, I feel like this is really a lifeline for them, because there's a farmer in my family, and that's a hard life. Like it's a huge gamble. You're providing for people. And generally, if you talk to a farmer, they know that. Like, they have that duty within them. And I feel like the microbes are really going to help them to have healthier crops, and it can help them tackle problems that may be plaguing their livestock, their crops, anything, truly. Like wound care with horses or any other thing like that. Like even going into more novel traits like the horses and things like that, or sheep, you know, they get injured by all sorts of things, and you know, we're beginning to see all sorts of diseases pop up because we've monocultured things. And you know, this is a way to kind of give back to nature and give back to farmers by using reintegrated microbe systems to help protect these biomes, to help protect these monocultured species that humans take care of, you know, the human stewards that are in charge of them. You know, how can't you use microbes is really the better question. Sorry, I said I could go on for ages.
I love it. Well, here's one last question.
Okay.
So let's say you've got a purist who's like, I only use what's in the ground, and, you know, I only want to do something that's organic. How would you say that, you know, Winnever Microbes is unique and can complement and come alongside someone's or organic, you know, operation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would kind of interject with sort of a paradigm shift. Like, there's nothing about our gardening that is like natural, should be there. Like, we're putting something there anyway. And then also the fact that all of the microbes in Wind River Microbes are natural. None of them are genetically modified. They are all bred from wild strains of microbes and put in a bottle in a way that they're self-contained and self-balanced. And it's really no different. Like, you're actually helping the local ecosystem. You know, if you go out in anybody's field, you will see honeysuckle, you will see autumn olive, you will see euonymus climbing up all the trees, you will see hundreds of invasives in prairie areas. And so you look at that and imagine you could dump a new ecosystem over the top of that where none of those exist, you would do it, right? This is sort of the paradigm shift that I'm talking about, because that's what it does for the rhizosphere beneath your garden. That's what it does for your root system of your plants. It reestablishes a healthy, balanced microbe system so that any invasives or any weedy fungi and bacteria are knocked out or balanced back in a way where they can be reintegrated in a system through horizontal gene transfer, or transferred in or out in a helpful or non-helpful way. The microbes would make microbe democracy per se.
Well, Alex, you have been so helpful today. I know that we could go on and on and on. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to more conversations about demystifying microbes.